Welcome to the Born Wild ADHD podcast. I'm Justine, and together with my partner in chaos, Lisa, we're here to get loud, have a laugh, share some knowledge, and keep it real about living with ADHD.
Welcome to Born Wild, where we cover 20 topics in 5 minutes.
And don't say the actual thing that we did a week's worth of planning on,
said no ADHD person ever. If you want the outcome on what we talked about, check into the next episode.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, download the fucking worksheet and we won't do it.
We've moved on, we're bored now.
Yeah, we do have visuals if you want to do your own research.
But look, why don't we get on to what we actually plan to talk about?
This is going to be hilarious. I love this already. Just so good.
Moving on to the episode that we actually planned to record the first time round, but hit some technical roadblocks.
Was something that we had inadvertently ended up riffing on. And that's because I sent you a link to the article about Dave Grohl fathering a child outside of his marriage. And I just said, is there something you need to tell me?
Right. It's like, yeah, I wish.
Right. Don't you think that would be the first thing that she'd tell me?
Yeah. You would know.
But, you know, we got chatting about it and I think it sort of evolved over the period of a few days where we started to feel really sorry for what was going on in the media, which was not just the media but the social media Karens were getting involved.
Yeah.
And just taking the man down.
Yeah, I was really sad. And I think I was sad because I knew that everyone was going to eat him alive from that point on and nothing would be the same again, more than anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was first and foremost a shocking piece of information because he'd had this image of being such a family man and, you know, the nicest guy.
And he is. Like, it doesn't mean he's not. Yeah.
I mean, I think we can get into it because that's part of the masking that we do or the public persona that we want people to see. But under the hood of that, when you're talking about an ADHD brain, there's a lot of mechanics going on. And the bit that I think upset both of us greatly was the media going in on him and then all of the, you know, fucking armchair pundits ripping into him. And I just want to start by saying I think all of the Karens need to get off his dick about it.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. If you're not in the arena, Karen,
back the fuck up.
Like, yeah, totally. That's what I love. Brene Brown, she got attacked once. So I forget who she quoted it from, but if they're not in the arena, I think it was like Aristotle or someone flash that she quoted it from. Yeah, but like, why am I taking comments from people that haven't given it a go and lived their life and faced the challenges and used their balls to go make something of themselves? And yeah, they just sit in their armchairs and throw stones from their keyboard.
And absolutely. And I think the media takes, and I don't hate the media, but I think that there's a tendency to, create clickbait and there's a tendency to drive narratives that serve the purpose of the organization. And we know that media is supposed to be impartial, but we all know that it's not. And so there's this sensationalizing of story. But actually, these are people's lives that we're talking about. And there's a beautiful little family at the heart of it. That was our first reaction, was that there's this beautiful little family at the heart of this that's clearly in pain. And to the point that you just made about being in the ring, if you don't bring an ADHD lens to this, then you're not doing that family justice and you're not doing that person justice, because there's a whole subtext that we carry with this.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
And that's the thing. I think when you've got the underlying ADHD that is often an underlying thing behind anxiety, depression, and all those like gambling, domestic violence, alcoholism, and people never talk about the sex battles that come with ADHD as well. Like, even though, it's going to happen because of, like, impulse control, dopamine, like all the But yeah, it is. And I'm one of those, like I get uncomfortable to talk about it too, but I think for the sake of our boys in the future, like I wonder how it would have turned out for Dave if we did have those compassionate conversations. Like the world claims, you know, to be, you know, we want to be inclusive and help people with disabilities and neurodiversity. Everyone spurts all this stuff about acceptance. But when it gets like too big and there's an area for judgment, everyone jumps in the ring and starts bashing each other. It's like, we're not going to change the culture if we keep doing that.
No, we're not. And I think that the stigma that we carry is part of what we want to get into. But I also just wanted to qualify for people listening that when you talk about domestic violence, violent crimes, all of those heavier topics, that you're coming from being in the trenches as a child and family practitioner working with families in those points of crisis. So you're bringing, you know, several decades.
Realistic community lens.
Yes, and decades of experience as a practitioner, when you speak of those things, this is not just another person who's got ADHD mouthing off on online. We're actually bringing knowledge and perspective as well as our own lived experience to these conversations. And I think it's important, and it's important to make that distinction, because we don't wish to be part of the problem of this conversation. Everything that we do in this work that we're doing is about, you know, changing this narrative around what it means to live with ADHD so that we don't always see the negative outcomes or the negative behaviors. We're actually looking at these outcomes with compassion, but also a preemptive sort of a lens or a sort of an ability to contextualize why things play out the way that they do.
Yeah. Like cause and effect, I think. And it's not, and I like, as we, like, I really don't want people to think that we support people cheating on each other and everything. We don't. And there's lots of behaviors that just, you know, I work with people that have gone through domestic violence. I don't support domestic violence, but it is just a factual conversation around the hardships that lead up to these points. And it's just not that simple. It's not always that, so we don't know Dave, but we do know the ADHD lens, and it's not always just so straightforward and simple. And I think, and I know I want my son, he's only, like, Karen hasn't touched him yet, but and I don't want her to, but I'm hoping that because we have these big conversations, if we can get it out there, that it's going to look different for people. We can turn it around a bit.
Absolutely. And look, it's an interesting point that you've just made. There's a lot in there, and I can't respond to all the points. No, it's okay. It's just that every point that you make, though, I'm like, I need to comment on that, need to comment on that. My brain's just wanting to do all the things all the time. But there's an important point that you made there of we don't know Dave, and we don't. We both value his brilliance and right. And if Dave wants to come and have a chat, our door is open without judgment and with the perspective of, you know, you're our people. So there's a supportive ear here. But the point that I wanted to make was that people don't know Dave, but they think they do. And this is what happens when people have such a public profile, is that you do end up knowing more about these people. And with that comes this sort of responsibility.
Yeah.
People in the public eye talk about, but then there's also a sense of people feeling an ownership, and with that comes a bias. And then when people do something that falls outside of those fans' value systems or
absolutely
belief in who this person was, that's part of where the takedown's coming from. And it's like, but with the ADHD lens, what we see on the outside is what we want people to see.
Yeah. And like, I think we have the capacity to look at how well he has done with ADHD. Like, that's the first thing I want to acknowledge. I've recently acknowledged that to my dad too, because when you have the ADHD lens and you look at someone through that, I said to my dad, well, I've actually got a lot of respect for you now of how well you have managed your ADHD without the diagnosis and without help for so long. And I think to get through life and get to the age that they're at without, oh, like a lot of hiccups and a lot of mistakes in it, but like not significant headliners, that's saying something. It'd take us 30 minutes to sit here and list all the genius collaborations and different instruments and that he's all done just because of his big brain and big feels and how he does process what he does process in his strength is amazing. He's an amazing guy. And I got so sad when people just, he spent years being, he broke his leg and he kept going because he didn't want to disappoint fans and he wanted them to have the night of their life. But God forbid he make a mistake and now everyone's like, oh, well, I'm not listening to you anymore.
Right. And I think that this is where, to your point, you know, the sort of godlike status that we bestow on people in these public domains puts a lot of extra pressure on top of them, as you say, just being, you know, everyday human beings who just happen to do this job that puts them in that domain.
Which is perfect. Like, that's realistic, isn't it?
And how, you know, everyone's got a fucking opinion. And I just don't think it does anything for anyone. And what you're talking about also is, as you were speaking before, I was thinking how, you know, patterns of behavior exist within us and maybe we do work at some point to intercept those and transition into a different state of being. But sometimes there are these life events, like in the case of Dave, his mate dying and his mum dying within 2 months of each other, that can catalyze a shift.
Yeah, it's not an excuse. Nothing's an excuse, but there's explanations that come with the ADHD. And
right. And then if you bring the neuroscience into it, then what the brain starts doing is, because you're dealing with grief that takes a lot of cognitive load, you're then needing dopamine. And look, we don't know when the affair started. We don't know whether this is consistent behavior throughout his marriage.
Comes
we don't
out in different
know.
Ways
and it
now
doesn't really
that it used
matter.
To.
And to your point, we're not condoning the behavior, but there's a lot of big things that have gone on. And, you know, his girl's getting to adulthood, and that's another big life transition that people go through. These things are big transitions, and ADHD brains don't really do transition well.
Oh, yeah, transitions are so hard for me. When we studied that one made me cry because I was like, oh, the processing involved when I had to regroup, especially with grief and especially like I haven't lost an anchor person, but I had an anchor dog even. And to process everything, to start doing life a different way without that emotional connection even, and just the daily routine, like the gaps that it filled in my boredom and in all of that. Like there's just so many layers to ADHD with things.
There's an aspect then, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're the psychologist, a disassociative piece that's happening in there perhaps.
Yeah, it's complex with ADHD, I think, like, because I know, you know, there's so many similarities between trauma and ADHD symptoms. Well, I won't go into that. That's one whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's just coming from a parenting kind of aspect too. Like I notice it working with the late diagnosed mums a lot. Like ADHD is struggle to see the priority, you know, to pick something and do it. Like, but when you're parenting, your priority every day is running the house and the kids. So that's when I've started to notice that I have to get on with it because you've got to do your day and whatever comes at me, like whatever trauma bits or whatever, it's like, oh, I don't have time to deal with that right now. Like I've just got to actually, I know it's there, so I'm not dissociating from it, but I'm just chucking it out of focus because it can't be my priority right this second.
Mm. But that's an interesting point because the filtering bit we're not naturally good at because the neuroscience behind it is the filtering system's on the fritz because of the low dopamine and noradrenaline. Then when you're in that heightened state, when you're in that automatic nervous system response, there's an ability to prioritize the primary priority, which is interesting.
I think that's why ADHD is like, you know, you look at the stats on like where we kind of thrive and stuff. And it is like they say we are really good in situations of crisis. And
with the grief piece, it's such a non-linear journey. And part of what's difficult for the ADHD brain can be the unpredictability of things. So if you've got this thing that's coursing in your body that you can't control, that's just like a time bomb that you're carrying around, or like a grenade that you're carrying around with the pin pulled out and you don't know when it's going to go off. Sadly, that's all we have time for today, but we have another episode planned where we further explore the impact of ADHD on Dave Grohl's life and work. Thanks so much for joining us again. The response to our first episode's been overwhelming in the best possible way. We're so grateful that so many of you have tuned in to listen to our unique brand of ADHD. And we hope you continue to show up and enjoy our wild ride. Feel free to reach out on the socials at BRNWLDADHD. And if you've got particular topics that you'd like us to run our mouths about, feel free to drop us a line. I'd like to make a special shout out to my brother Nick from Rockton Road Studios, who, along with his wife Natalie and their band Mad Revival, gave us their amazing track Rise Above It, which really is the perfect anthem for what we're trying to do here, which is rise above the noise, the bias that exists towards ADHD people, and really to say that we're stronger together and it really is possible to rise above the challenges you might be experiencing with ADHD. And that starts with knowledge, closely followed by empathy and connection. So register to join our community at brnwld.com/register. Coming up in future episodes,
the kids will take over and we'll show you what real ADHD is.
What's ADHD like for you?
ADHD for me is amazing, and I'm always crazy.
Half crazy, half snuggly?
True.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like, are you a bit like a helicopter in a laundry cupboard?
Yeah. Well, I guess all we have to say is, well, show what real ADHD is and hopefully you like it.
We look forward to catching up again soon. Until then, stay wild.